Lecture topic, Six Sinful Women, Part 1.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو أنا أهلكناهم بعذاب من قبله لقالوا ربنا لولا أرسلت إلينا رسولا فنتبع آياتك من قبل أن نذل ونخزى قل كل متربص فتربصوا فستعلمون من أصحاب الصراط السوي ومن اهتدى وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable علماء اكرام Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters Allah Rabbul Izzat has repeatedly in the Quran in many verses explicitly and emphatically highlighted the various weaknesses and shortcomings of man. At times Allah has referred to man by saying, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا Man has been created weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ Man has been created with a hasty nature. In fact, under the commentary of this ayah, Allah says, وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ That many a times in a person's hasty nature, he tends to curse his own children. Sometimes in the hasty nature of man, he invokes wrath upon himself. Another verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ Man is kanood. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi commentating on this verse explains kanood. Kanood is that person who remembers the bounties but ideally forgets the giver of the bounty. Another weakness of man, كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا Allah says man has a very narrow heart. He is a miser by his nature. قُلْ لَوْ أَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِذًا لَأَمْسَكْتُمْ خَشْيَةَ الْإِنفَاقِ Allah says, if I had to make you in charge of my treasures, you would have not spent. Out of the fear that it will come to an end, knowing very well that my treasures will never be exhausted. But given your nature, O insan. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِ When I favor him, he becomes arrogant. When I test him, he becomes despondent. Both conditions show that he is not connected to Allah. His arrogance and his despondency. So Allah Ta'ala has highlighted many, many weaknesses of man in the Quran. And one of the common weaknesses in man is, which the Quran features quite commonly and extensively is, that man cannot admit and acknowledge his wrong. This is a human weakness. He finds it very difficult to admit his wrong. In fact, more tragic than the fact that he cannot admit his wrong is that when he's told about his wrong, when he's cautioned about his wrong, then he ideally accuses, blames and implies his wrong or to prove himself innocent. Whenever man is told that this is what you have done is wrong, he blames, he accuses, he implicates, he insults to justify what he has done. And the greater the wrong, the more the accusation. The greater the wrong, the more the accusation. Hence the Quran speaks about the accusations that the dwellers of Jahannam will level against everyone because that will be the pinnacle of grief. So they will blame this one, they will blame that one. Why did we end up in Jahannam? إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَحَقٌّ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَحَقٌّ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ Verily this is a reality and that is the arguments of the dwellers of Jahannam. We see commonly in this world the losing side is always arguing. The winning side is not arguing. The losing side is forever arguing. Allah Ta'ala draws the picture of how they will pass the buck to one another, why we ended up in Jahannam. If you only can comprehend the eloquence of the Quran. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you have to visualize that time when the disbelievers, the transgressors and the criminals will stand before Allah. And they will be passing the buck. Literally the Quran says passing it to one another, blaming one another. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. The weak, the followers will tell the leaders, really you people caused it in this world. You that were in influential, high profile positions. You really led us and misled us and you showed us the wrong things to do. Wallah, if it wasn't for you, I swear we would have been believers. These people will then retort in the court of Allah and say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ. The leaders will say, did we physically prevent you from guidance? No, no, you by your own wrong, by your own vice, you deviated and you opted for vice. You yourself are sinners. It won't end there. They will respond again. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضِعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Don't forget the evil plots and the agendas that you had by night. And you used to always invite me to your evil gatherings. And you always told me to do this and you do that. Have you forgotten all those things? It is because of that I'm suffering. When they will realize that blaming others is not to avail them, then there will be one way out to vent their frustration. Imagine the Quran says, كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah will repeatedly show them their evil actions to intensify their regret, to make worse their pain and their torment. So they will be punished on every level, and one will be a psychological punishment. And that is, they will be shown the evil actions constantly. See what you did, that is why you're suffering. Just to aggravate the grief, hasaratin alayhim. So the last way, when they will blame and accuse, but nobody will take responsibility. So then they will make one request to Allah. قالوا ربنا من قدم لنا هذا فزده عذابا ضعفا في النار. Allah, do us one favor. According to me, this is the man because of whom I ended in Jahannam. But he blatantly refuses and he denies it. Allah, there's one way you'll able to soothe me, is whatever punishment you're going to give me, give him double, I'll feel happy. Allah, whatever you're going to punish me, punish him double. رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. Allah, give him double the punishment, then I will feel at ease. And obviously the easiest target to blame will be the devil, the softest target. And undoubtedly the devil has a share in every evil, but he is not the ultimate cause of every evil. So before mankind will accuse the devil will deliver a lecture in Jahannam. The Quran speaks about it. And I literally use the word lecture in Tafsir al-Uthmani. This is the term used. World-renowned Iblis. Listeners will be millions and billions. Venue Jahannam. Duration 15 minutes. And thereafter question and answer session. The Quran says that when the dwellers of Jahannam will go to Jahannam, and obviously everybody will want to accuse the devil now. The nature of man to accuse. So the devil will clear the air before all accusations are leveled against him. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ. The devil will say, listen, listen, all you occupants of Jahannam, Allah save us all. All you dwellers of Jahannam, listen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Allah promised you that this day was to dawn upon you. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. And I promised you otherwise. And you knew what Allah said was an absolute reality, and what I said was a lie. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. The devil falsely satisfies you and gives you wrong aspirations. Furthermore, the devil will say, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. Before you tell Allah that I am the cause of your zina, and I am the cause of your interest, and I am the cause of you not performing salah, remember, there were those that invited you to good and I invited you to evil. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. The tragedy is that you responded to mine and you denied the message of good. Now explicitly the Quran quotes, and this is what I want to highlight today. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. It's time you stop blaming others and blame yourself. The Muslim Ummah is currently going through a crisis where undoubtedly we're facing hostility, victimization. But we've made this the pretext to justify our weakness in ibadat. I ask you, my brother, perhaps you're traveling in the world, you victimized, you marginalized. Which infidel, which superpower, which country are you going to accuse for not allowing you to perform fajr other than your weakness? To whom are you going to point fingers? Which nation, which power, which planning, which strategy? To whom will you implicate? Who compels you to bring that devil box in your house? Who compels you to bring interest in your business? Who compels you to unveil your sister? فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, blame yourself. And the Hadith Qudsi, where Allah Rabbul Izzat says, that يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا. O my servant, these are your actions, as you do it, I record it. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. If you happen to appear before me and you find a book of deeds which reflect noble and virtuous deeds, then praise Allah and consider yourself fortunate and lucky. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And the one who comes before me and finds in his book of deeds evil, sin, vice, deceit, deceive, zina, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ. Then tell him he must take responsibility for what is there and he must blame none but himself. He must blame none but himself. So the devil will say, don't blame me, blame yourself. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِي. I cannot respond to your call of desperation and neither can you respond to mine. You will sit and I will sit. The Quran says in the ayat-e kareema that I recited before you, Allah Rabbul Izzat speaking about this weakness and this nature of man, Allah says, if I had to send man in this world and expect of him to understand good by virtue of his logic, and understand vice by virtue of his sanity, and then punish him for the wrong he does and reward him for the good he does, just by virtue of his logic, then man out of his arguing nature would have turned around and said, رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. Allah, you could have been kind enough to at least send a prophet to give us one reminder. This is what the Quran says. Allah says, if I had to send man in this world and expect of him by virtue of his logic, which undoubtedly logic and intellect is a vehicle as far as understanding truth is concerned. The Quran refers to it as ulin nuha, the people of intelligence. And nuha actually is the plural of the word nuhya. وَسُمِّيَ الْعَقْلُ نُهْيَ لِأَنَّهُ يَنْهَى صَاحِبُهُ عَنْ إِرْتِكَابِ الْقَبَائِحِ. The object of the intellect is to prevent you from wrong. So if your intellect is not prevent you from wrong, I'm afraid you lack it. Allah says, if I had to send man in this world without a Nabi, and then expect of him by virtue of his logic and his understanding that he can arrive at the right things and abstain from the wrong, man would have turned around and said the following to me, رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. Allah, if you send a prophet to us, نَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكَ, we promise we would have followed your commandments. وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, we would have diligently complied to your dictates. So Allah says, out of my sheer mercy, I send a Nabi to them, and not a Nabi, I send the best of Anbiya. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Some villagers came, And they started impressing upon Nabi alayhi salam that we became Muslims, we became Muslims. So Allah revealed the verse, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people are impressing upon you that they're Muslims as if they have done me a favor. Tell them it's my favor upon them and not their favor upon me. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Allah has guided you, that is the kindness of Allah. Allah says, when I send the Prophet and the Nabi came, now look at man's nature. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا لَوْلَا أُوْتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوْتِيَ مُوسَى. They said, no, no, we are not convinced on his prophethood. Why doesn't he carry the miracles that were given to Moses? So Allah goes on to say, if the stick of Musa was sufficient to convince that truth was in the message of the Prophet, then why did some even deny Musa also? أَوَلَمْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أُوْتِيَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ. Then they said, no, he's not a prophet. Why? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. Why is the Quran coming down gradually? This gives us a doubt that he's fabricating it. Then they said, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ فَيَكُونَ مَعَهُ نَذِيرٌ. Why doesn't he have some bodyguards with him? Then they said, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٌ. I doubt Muhammad is the suitable man to possess the Quran. The Quran should have been revealed on someone like Urwa ibn Mas'ud. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So man's nature is to argue constantly. Allah says, I took pity on man and I sent this Nabi. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, the very beautiful description. Perhaps there isn't a more comprehensive description of Islam given in the court of a non-Muslim other than that which the noble companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ja'far radiallahu anhu, did. One of the most comprehensive yet voluminous description of Islam when he was summoned in the court of Negus. Today, often in this environment of hostility, we are given a platform to speak about Islam. It is sad and tragic that we lack adequate Islamic knowledge, that those of us that assume those positions, we harm the cause of deen more than helping the cause of deen. Why? Because we don't make the needed contribution. Ja'far radiallahu anhu stood up and he described Islam and he described Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, listen king, before you make hasty decisions in our matter, and before you are convinced that we are evil people, why don't you hear me out what I have to say? أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكُ كُنَّا قَوْمًا أَهْلَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامِ نَقْطَعُ الْأَرْحَامِ نُصِيءُ الْجِوَارِ. Every vice that you perhaps could think of was common amongst us. We used to sever ties. We used to bury our daughters. We used to consume wine. We lived in sin, vice and deviation until Allah took pity on the Arab nation. Until Allah took pity on the Arab nation and Allah sent a Nabi amongst us. نَعْرِفُ نَسَبَهُ وَصِدَقَهُ وَأَمَانَتَهُ. We looked at the integrity of the man, the chastity of this man, the morality of this man. We accepted his faith and upon this our nation has opposed us. You and I have heard the incident of Mi'raj repeatedly. And I don't want to digress and go into the details of the incident itself. We've heard it, I have said it in this masjid previously, and we've read about it. I want to share one hadith with you today, relevant to the occasion, of course. The hadith appears in Al-Kabair. Imam Zahabi, rahmatullah alayhi, makes mention of the riwayat, Al-Kabair, referring to the major sins. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, دَخَلْتُ أَنَا وَفَاتِمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا. One day myself and my beloved wife Fatima radiallahu anha went to visit Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. فَوَجَدَنَاهُ يَبْكِي بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. When we came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we found very strange, he was crying profusely. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was crying profusely. So we sat down. And then we said, فِدَاكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الَّذِي أَبْكَاكَ. O Nabi of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. What makes you cry in this manner? The hadith comes, Azizun ka Azizil Mirjal. When the Prophet ﷺ used to cry, the sound that would emit from his blessed chest was like that of a boiling pot. It is said today that in the gatherings of Sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. Allah forgive, in our gatherings, the one that cries is the odd one. The one that cries in our gatherings is the odd one. And in the gatherings of Sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. Those that could not cry felt we were deprived. Today we cannot cry, we don't feel we deprived. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salam and said, O Nabi of Allah, my heart is gone very hard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what is the matter? He says, previously I used to listen to your talks and I used to cry. Now I cannot cry any longer. أَنَّ رَجُلًا شَكَى قَصْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Nabi alayhi salam said, do two things and Allah will soften your heart. إِمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ وَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينِ It looks like you've distanced yourself from the poor, that is why your heart has become hard. Sit more with the poor and look with a gentle eye to the orphans and Allah will soften your heart. That sahabi says, I did it, and from that day onwards, before I used to hear the Nabi of Allah speaking, I used to cry. So we came, we sat by Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, and this is the time to cry. In one riwayat it comes, when the people of the Summa, Allah save us all, those that disobeyed Allah will be brought to Jahannam. Hatta idha waqafu bihim ala shafiri Jahannam. When they will be brought at the edge of Jahannam, then Malik, who is in charge of Jahannam, they will tell Malik, Malik, you want to permit us? We want to cry our last breath out. We want to regret the last breath out. So Malik will say, you are at liberty, go ahead and cry. I'm in charge to see that you're going to be burnt. But you want to cry? Go for it and cry. So they will cry profusely. They will literally cry tears of blood, as they say. Malik will make one statement at this juncture and say, Ma ahsana hadhal buka law kana fid dunya. How brilliant these tears are only if you shed them in the world. How brilliant these tears are only if you shed them in the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and may Allah favor us all with this, brothers. At times Allah grants it. It is such a moment of closeness with Allah. رَجُلٌ ذَكَّرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there's one person for whom the fire of Jahannam is forbidden. One who sits in solitude, in loneliness. Perhaps in his house, perhaps in his car, perhaps in his office. And he goes down memory lane. And as he goes down memory lane, the evils of his past start haunting him and start bothering him and start giving him evil flashes and start giving him nightmares. Ya Allah, I got this evil to my account. Ya Allah, I got this evil. And as he starts going down that memory, he starts crying. He starts reviving his past and he starts crying. Allah, I have done this wrong. Allah, in the dead of night, I'm guilty of this also, Allah. Nabi alayhi salam says, that man who in seclusion reflects over his past and cries to Allah, the fire of Jahannam is forbidden on that body. رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا What sense don't we have? Yet we don't cry. Our good is so little, our evil is so much. Yet we ideally remember the little good and forget the wrong. So sad, so tragic. So anyway, the Prophet ﷺ was crying. I asked him, O Nabi of Allah, what makes you cry so much? Keep focus on this hadith, brothers. Whatever I will say, I'll elaborate on this one hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Ali, laylata usriya bi ila sama. O Ali, you know the night when Allah took me to the heavens? When I ascended the heavens, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِّنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِّنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. All praise belongs to Allah who took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the portion of the night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and from there onwards to the seven heavens till he came that close to Allah. ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى. On that particular night, O Ali, I was shown some woman of my ummah who have been subjected to such forms of azab that Ali, when I think of it, it makes me cry and it gives me a shiver. فَبَكَيْتُ لِمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ شِدَّةِ عَذَابِهِنْ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then started elaborating. رَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِشَعْرِهَا يَغْلِي دِمَاغُهَا. Ali, I seen one woman hung with her hair, suspended in Jahannam, and the heat was so intense, believe me, her head was boiling. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِلِسَانِهَا وَالْحَمِيمُ يُصَبُّ فِي حَلْقِهَا. And I seen a woman hung by her tongue, and the hot boiling water of Jahannam was being poured in her mouth. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِثَدِيَيْهَا. And I seen a woman hung by the upper portion of her chest. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً قَدْ شُدَّتْ رِجْلَاهَا إِلَىٰ ثَدِيَيْهَا وَيَدَاهَا إِلَىٰ نَاصِيَتِهَا. And I seen a woman, Ali, what can I tell you? Her hands were tied to her chest. شُدَّتْ رِجْلَاهَا إِلَىٰ ثَدِيَيْهَا. Her legs were tied to her chest and her hands were tied to her forehead. This was in the night of Mi'raj. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً رَأْسُهَا رَأْسُ خِنْزِيرٍ وَبَدَنُهَا بَدَنُ حِمَارٍ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ لَوْنٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Ali, what can I tell you? Imagine what a painful heart the Prophet ﷺ must have said this year. When that man was brought forward and he was found guilty of theft. So his hands were being chopped and cut. So the Prophet ﷺ started crying. So the person withdrew and he said, O Nabi of Allah, do we stop or do I continue? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, he is guilty of theft. His hands need to be cut off. Go ahead and execute the order of Allah. So that sahabi said, O Nabi of Allah, but you are crying. Nabi alayhi salam said, I'm been his Nabi and he been my ummati. If I won't cry, who will cry? This is the order of Allah and it has to prevail. I don't have a choice in the matter, neither does he have a choice in the matter. But if I cannot cry when my ummati's hands will be chopped, who will cry? How painful was it for the Nabi? Brothers, I say, you and I have not tasted love to the level that Nabi alayhi salam had with his ummah. Hence, we cannot create a similarity to say the love that we have for our children or the love that we have for our parents. Simply because we have never tasted the love that the Nabi of Allah has for our ummati. Nor have we ever tasted the love that Sahaba had for Nabi alayhi salam. So a parable and a similitude cannot be created because we don't know love to that extent. We can relate to love that we understand, but we cannot relate to the love of Sahaba for Nabi alayhi salam because we haven't seen love like this. We don't love our beloveds like this, never mind Nabi alayhi salam like that. We don't love our beloveds like how much Sahaba loved Nabi alayhi salam. We love our beloved to the extent that after we secure our comfort, we secure theirs. After I am saturated, then priority to my beloved. Sahaba loved Nabi alayhi salam so much that they felt his hunger more than their hunger. What did that sahabi come? Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the munafiqeen. He comes to Nabi alayhi salam. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I heard you have intended to kill my father. His father was a staunch enemy of Islam and he had caused a lot of pain to Nabi alayhi salam. When Nabi alayhi salam came to Medina, they were about to crown him and make him the king of Medina. Nabi alayhi salam came, all focus went to Nabi alayhi salam. So his entire position went into jeopardy. He was very shrewd, so he prepared an internal movement, that subtle hatred for Islam, apparent love and inward hatred, internal hatred. He had caused a lot of pain to Nabi alayhi salam. So his son comes to Nabi alayhi salam and said, O Nabi of Allah, I heard that you intend killing my father. If what I have heard, then I only have one request. If what I have heard is correct, that you have intended killing my father, يا رسول الله بلغني أنك تريد قتل عبد الله ابن أبي فيما بلغك عنه فإن كنت فاعلا فمرني أحمل إليك رأسه. If the matter is true, I have one request. Depute this task to me. I behead my father and put his head in your lap. Why? Now listen, when I say they had love for Nabi alayhi salam, then you understand what I'm saying. O Nabi of Allah, I am afraid, look at the vision of Sahaba. I am afraid you will respect my sentiments knowing it's my father. So obviously you will keep this hidden from me. You won't even mention it to me. You will mention it to someone else, not to offend my feelings. That person will promptly respond to kill my father, earning your pleasure, becoming beloved in your eyes and hated in my eyes, which I don't want must happen, that I hate someone you love. O Nabi of Allah, I'm afraid that man will kill my father because it's your decree. He's got no sentiments, he's a kafir. He will go and kill my father. I will now hate the man who you love. فَلَا تَدَعْنِي نَفْسِي أَنْ أَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ قَاتِلِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ أُبَيْ يَمْشِي فِي النَّاسِ. I doubt my aspirations will allow me to see the murderer of my father walking around freely. I'm going to be captured by emotions. After all, I'm a human. And when I will be gripped by sentiments, I will murder this person. So, O Nabi of Allah, the only way out is you leave it to me, I murder my father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before he could respond, Allah responded through Quran. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم. You will not find the true friends of Allah befriend the enemies of Allah, even if those enemies happen to be their fathers, their brothers. I often say, look at the level of their iman. Look at it. Nothing became an obstacle. Today a person's got a haram sweet in his hand. You tell him, hey, that's got some haram ingredients. Oh, okay, I bought it. Next time I won't buy it. Next time, he can't drop a sweet for Allah's pleasure. He can't drop a sweet for Allah's pleasure. Oh, I bought it. I didn't know. Next time I won't buy it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes by the house of a person. The riwayat in Abu Dawud, he asked, what's happening here? And symptoms of disapproval. So they said, no, he's renovating, he's plastering, he's extending. Nabi alayhi salam said, Al-amru asra'u min hada. I think Qiyamah will come before all these things will be done. So the Sahabi said, well, we just communicated the sentiments of Nabi alayhi salam to the owner of the house, that look here, we were walking by. Nabi sallallahu alayhi made an observation and he made a remark. Few days later, Nabi alayhi salam walked by, it was raised to the ground. Nabi alayhi salam said, there was some dwelling that was being developed here. What happened? They said, O Nabi of Allah, we communicated your sentiments. He said, if you're not happy, what must he do with that building? What must he do with that building? So what I'm saying is, the love that Sahaba had for Nabi alayhi salam and vice versa, we don't know love with any human like that, never mind with Nabi alayhi salam. Can you imagine the pain with which Nabi alayhi salam is mentioning this hadith? Then he says, I seen a woman, رأسها رأس خنزير وبدنها بدن حمار عليها ألف ألف لون من العذاب. Believe me, she was disfigured. She had the body of a donkey. And upon her was every form of azab that you possibly could think of. ورأيت امرأة على صورة الكلب والنار تدخل من فيها وتخرج من دبرها. And I seen a woman disfigured also, given the form and the shape of a dog. Fatima radiallahu anha became emotional and she started crying. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu started crying and then he said, O Nabi of Allah, ma kana a'malu ha'ula. What were the crimes of these women? Scholars have written that the vision and the scene that prevailed before Nabi alayhi salam was that of woman. However, the crime if committed by man, they will face the same consequences. Fatima radiallahu anha, look at her mind. She said, O Nabi of Allah, what were these crimes so we can avoid it? Allah forgive today if it is a woman whose mind and whose thought pattern has been dominated by Western ideals. Again, she will take out an issue of gender bias here. Why women? Where were the men? Why were only women being punished? That is the pattern. It filters and it features in everything. Today, unfortunately, one young girl was speaking to her. So she says, no, I want to study. So I said, no problem, you want to study, very good. What's the reason you want to study? She says, no, my mother told me you must have a degree, so one day if your husband dumps you, at least you got some money. I said, that should never be the reason for a Muslim woman studying. Even if she studies, that is never the reason why she studies. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says, the manner in which you will expect, you according to your expectations from Allah, that is how Allah will deal with you. It is correct within the jurisdiction, within the parameters, it is correct for you to pursue a degree, and rightfully so. But let this not be the motivating factor behind it. O Nabi of Allah, what is the crime of these women? Nabi alayhi salam then with a heavy heart said, أَمَّا الْمُعَلَّقَةُ بِشَعْرِهَا فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُغَطِّي شَعْرَهَا مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. Oh my Fatima, oh my Ali, what can I tell you? That first woman who I seen hung in Jahannam, لو أن ثوبا من أثواب أهل النار علق بين السماء والأرض لمات جميع أهل الأرض من نتنها. If one garment from the dwellers of Jahannam has to be hung onto the sky, the foul smell that will emit from that garment will cause the instant death of every creature on this earth. Oh my Fatima, that first woman was hung by her hair simply because she took pride in exposing her hair to strange men. Simply because she took pride in exposing her hair to strange men. And that's not all to the woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, a dayuth will never enter Jannah. Sahaba said, who is a dayuth, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, that man who is very casual about his woman. That man who is very casual, who's not possessive over his wife. How sad this ummah has become possessive over material things. A man is possessive over his phone. That's my car, my computer, my laptop. My wife is casual. I don't know where she. I don't know where's my wife. She was somewhere around. My car he knows, my phone he knows, my laptop he knows, and his wife is casual. There are so many youngsters who are pursuing to get married and will emphatically tell you, Mawlana, I'm looking for a girl, but I don't want a girl in scarf. And there are so many sisters, Allah give hidayat, that will say, I'm looking for a good partner, but I don't want a bearded man. When the very credentials of selecting a partner is violation to Allah's commands, then how can you ever expect prosperity in that marriage? When you're telling me, I want a girl, but I want a moderate girl. I want a moderate girl and I want a moderate boy. فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُغَطِّي شَعْرَهَا مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Ali, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ خَيْرٌ لِلنِّسَى. Let me ask you a question, Ali. What's the best gift you can give a woman? Ali radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, you got me thinking. And you ask yourself, what's the best gift you can give your wife? If it wasn't live on radio, I would have shared a joke with you. But in case I insult my sister, so with utmost respect. I say this, brothers, Allah's joy and Allah's displeasure doesn't fluctuate. What pleased Allah when the Quran was revealed still pleases Allah today. What displeased Allah still displeases Allah. We are trying to please people whose joy is not known, whose displeasure is not known. So we walk in a shop to purchase an article, knowing not if this will impress my wife or depress my wife. Last time she said she liked this, then she said the color wasn't right. I don't know, I'm spending money, time and effort, knowing not if I will earn the benefits of that. There's no doubt if you get up for Fajr, your Allah will be pleased or not, He is pleased. Yet we still run around trying to please the creation, whose joy is not known, whose displeasure is not known. So, Nabi alayhi salam asked Ali, Ali, what is the best gift you can give a woman? Ali radiallahu anhu said, I don't know, Nabi of Allah. Ali radiallahu anhu went out. He went to Fatima radiallahu anhu and said, come, I ask you a question. Now imagine we ask this question. Before I give the answer, let every sister ask herself, if your husband is asking you, what's the best I can give you? Your father is asking you, your brother. What won't come in the mind of our sisters and every one of us? So Fatima radiallahu anha said, the best thing for a woman is, لا يرين الرجال ولا يرونهن. The best thing is give them such an environment that no strange man cast an evil glance upon them, and they are in such a conducive environment that they are not exposed to any strange men. So Nabi Ali radiallahu anhu got happy and he came back to Nabi alayhi salam. He said, "Oh Nabi Allah, I got the answer for you." Nabi alayhi salam said, "What's the answer?" He said, "Oh Nabi Allah, the best thing to give a woman, keep her in an environment where you veil her and you save her from influence of men." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Man allamaka hadha?" Who gave you this answer? So Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Fatima." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Yes, that is my Fatima. It can only be my Fatima who will speak like that. Fatima tu buz'atum minni. It can only be my Fatima. No other Fatima will say this. It can only be my Fatima to say this." You study in the throes of death. After Nabi alayhi salam passed away, Fatima radiallahu anha barely lived for 6 months. She was in the prime of her life, in her 20s. She was young. One day she attended one janazah after the death of Nabi alayhi salam, and then she wasn't very happy how the deceased was covered. So she called Asma radiallahu anha and she said, "Asma, listen, I'm very worried the day I pass away and I'm making you in charge." Then she broke few branches from a tree and she made a coffin and she covered it. And she said, "Asma, I make you in charge. When I go, you cover me totally. My entire body must be wrapped up. I don't want any strange man to look at the cloth, never mind my body." In one riwayat I read myself, Nabi alayhi salam said, when humanity will congregate before Allah and Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will stand up, then one announcer will announce, "Oh people, lower your gaze, Fatima wants to walk." Everybody will drop their gaze, then Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will cross. أَمَّا الْمُعَلَّقَةُ بِشَعْرِهَا فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُغَتِّي شَعْرَهَا. Oh Ali, oh Fatima, the first woman hanging in Jahannam, which I was shown on the night of Mi'raj, she openly flashed her hair before strange men. As men, we have been told to lower our gaze. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, دَخَلْتُ عَلَىٰ عُثْمَانِ ibn Affan. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً فِي الطَّرِيقِ مِنْ غَيْرِ قَصْدٍ. I was coming to attend the gathering of Uthman ibn Affan, and on the way, unintentionally, my gaze fell on a strange woman. And as I walked into the gathering, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu said, يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَآثَارُ الزِّنَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Some of you are making a presence in this gathering when the signs of zina are vivid on their eyes. So Anas ibn Malik said, أَوَحْيٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Are the doors of revelation still open? Are the doors of revelation still open? So Uthman ibn Affan said, no, it's not revelation through which I've realized this. وَلَكِنْ فِرَاسَةٌ صَادِقَةٌ. It is the inspiration in the heart of a believer by virtue of which I've identified this here. So really that is the first point that we take to heart. The pride of a woman is in covering herself. وَأَمَّا الَّتِي مُعَلَّقَةً بِلِسَانِهَا فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ تُؤْذِي زَوْجَهَا. The second woman who was hung by her tongue in Jahannam was because she was guilty of verbally abusing her husband. Constantly abusing. Now again, there are many cases where it is reversed, where the woman is a victim of abuse and the man is the victor. So whoever has perpetrated the crime, this is the consequences. The Prophet ﷺ gave that sahabi three advisors: Amlik alayka lisanak, look after your tongue, cry over your sins and stay indoors. Look after your tongue, cry over your sins and stay indoors. And Nabi alayhi salam told Ubadah ibn Samit, alayka bis samt, فَإِنَّهُ مَطْرَدَةٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَعَوْنٌ لَكَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ دِينِكَ. Oh Ubadah, try and observe silence. This will enable you to accomplish your spiritual objectives. You know, you have aspirations to obey Allah and you have goals. You want to put those goals into practice. You want to implement it. Try and make silence a common practice and Allah will give you the strength to implement your good intentions. You want to derive strength to accomplish, this is where it lies. There is a beautiful incident I was reading about the fusaha amongst women. Women who were very eloquent. and who were very conscious of their speech. We don't realize what we say. One person came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he insulted Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. Who was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Look at how Abu Bakr responded. He told him, you know, a mouthful, you like this, you like that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if I am like what you said, may Allah forgive me. And if I am not like what you said, may Allah forgive you. If I am like what you said, then may Allah forgive me. And if I am not that, may Allah forgive you. That is, you've accused me for something I am not guilty of. When I read this, I cried. I literally cried. And I said, if somebody has to come and tell us something that we are not innocent, we are guilty of. We are guilty of it, and he tells us. How would we respond? And Abu Bakr said, if I have done it, may Allah forgive me. And if I haven't done it, may Allah forgive you. So anyway, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says, kharajtu hajjan. I came out for hajj. Ziyarati baytillahi al-haram. To see the house of Allah. Wa ziyarati qabrihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after returning from hajj, in a distance, I seen one elderly person. So as I drew close, I seen it was a woman. So I greeted her and I said, assalamu alaykum. So she said, salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim. That peace be upon you, which is a verse Allah speaks about it upon the dwellers of Jannah. So I asked her, you know, she answered, I asked her, ماذا تصنعين في هذا المكان? Oh sister, what are you doing here? So she answered by saying, وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَنَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. The one whom Allah misleads, there's none to guide. فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهَا ضَالَّ. So I got the message, she's astray, she's lost the road. So I asked her, أَيْنَ تُرِيدِينَ? Where do you intend going? So she said, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِّنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. All praise belongs to Allah who took Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. So I understood her hajj was over, she's going back to Masjid al-Aqsa.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.